When it comes to building a business empire online while intentionally cultivating a thriving life at home with kids, well, there is no roadmap. It's not easy. But the great news is, we're not alone. We live in a crazy world that is truly unlike any other time in our history. And if you're like me, you've got an impact of your own to make. But you're not willing to sacrifice your relationship with those that you love in order to get it. My name is Stephanie Dove Blake, and this is the Powerful Parenting Journey podcast, where we'll journey together to learn what it means to be a truly powerful parent. Let's go. Welcome back to the Powerful Parenting Journey podcast. Today is going to be a little bit different because I'm going to dive in on a book that I'm actually reading with my kids. So the book is called The 7 Habits of Highly Effective Teens, and it is by Sean Covey. And of course, he is the person who wrote 7 Habits of Highly Effective People. And it's an incredible book. And so I saw this a couple years ago, and it has just sat on my shelf and I haven't done anything with it. And last night I was just like on a whim. I was like, hey guys, come in here, come and sit with me in my bedroom and pile onto the bed and just give me 20 minutes of your time. And so now I have, you know, today is Monday. So yesterday my kids, you know, had some things last minute weekend projects they had to get ready for school, and it was getting towards bedtime. And so I was like, sometimes I don't know how you feel, but sometimes it's hard just to corral everybody once you have a good span, you know, between the youngest, who is always excited to spend any time that you want to give to them, versus sometimes the older ones, they want to spend time with you, but they're also very torn between, you know, doing this or doing that. And so last night I was like, guys, and I just brought the excitement. I was like, hey, I really want to just spend about 15 to 20 minutes with you. I want to dive in with you because there's something that I think would be awesome for you to learn with me. And I want to go over it with you. And so got them all in. I left room for like, hey, I want to do this in about, you know, 5 or 10 minutes. Is that cool with you? And one of them was like, no, can you give me just 15? And then, so we moved the time a little bit, giving consideration, because one of them I'm talking to is 18 and the other one is 16 now, sweet 16. She just turned 16 on the 25th. And then Journey, my youngest, just turned 11 on the 25th. So anyway, we all get into the bedroom and pile onto the bed. And it was so comical and so cute because my youngest, she is an extrovert to a T, and just the cutest thing. And for her birthday, one of the things she wanted was a karaoke machine. And so we're in the middle, we're just starting. And I tend to like get annoyed because I am kind of, I don't know, I'm some hybrid mix weird thing where I like tasks and getting things done, but I'm also, you can't nail me down. But either way, I was like ready to get going, right? And I know I've got limited attention span right now because it's late. They've got stuff that they're working on. My oldest daughter had like this crazy awesome project for math, and she was like making some sort of paper craft with all these cool things. And so there was some pressure there. And so my daughter, my youngest, you know, jumps up. She's like, hold on, wait a second, wait. And I'm like, oh, Journey, come on, come back. She's like, no, wait. And so she comes in and she brings the karaoke machine and she hooks it up and she puts the microphone. She's like, now you can go, mom. So it was really cute. So I used the microphone for the whole ordeal. And every time one of the kids said something, they had to hold the microphone. So it just made it a different, fun experience. And had I been ready to kind of shut her down and just be like, no, we got to get started, we would have missed out on that opportunity. So I just want to encourage you. Actually, there was this missionary, whenever we were overseas in Thailand, we had a couple of missionary families that we did life together with. And there was this one missionary family, and the mom was interesting to me because, I don't know, she's so, so wonderful and has such a wonderful heart. But oftentimes we'd be like, man, these kids are like feral. And they weren't. They were not feral. They were just wild, you know? And one of the things that she said to me, and I think I learned it and understood it more and more and more as my motherhood progressed, is that she just said, I learned a long time ago, and she learned it from someone else, that anytime you can say yes to kids, you know, because it's really hard to find your yeses a lot of the times. And especially whenever you're training and teaching, and especially when you're homeschooling. And so finding your yeses are really important. And if the kid's not going to get hurt, and if it doesn't hurt someone else, and it's not going to mess up something that you have going on, then try to say yes. And so anyway, I felt that in that moment with Journey running off to get this supposed surprise she didn't want to tell us about. And she brought it into the room, and it made the whole experience different and added value to our moment, right? And the other two thought she was absolutely adorable for doing it. So back to the book. So the first chapter, once you really dive in, like there's an intro chapter, but the first chapter is paradigms and principles. And I just cannot encourage you enough that if you're not talking about this with your kids often and frequently, I guess that's the same, often and frequently, what am I trying to say? Consistently. That's what I'm looking for. And listen, I'm the least most consistent in the world. Whenever it comes to StrengthsFinders, consistency is the last on my list. It's down there, which at the bottom of the 34, which means that it is a weakness of mine. It is a miracle of God that this podcast has over 52 episodes consistently posted every Tuesday, because I hate consistency. And so I've found my own nuances of that in life, but it's so important that you have certain topics that you are bringing back up to your kids. Like, I always cringe just a little bit whenever people say, oh, well, have you had the talk with your kids? Because it's not really about having the talk. It's an ongoing conversation about the talk, you know, the birds and the bees and those kind of things. It should never just be one talk, because it's a complex topic and subject that your kids are going to need guidance on. And if you don't break down barriers early on and continue to break down those barriers at different ages and stages of life with your child, then it's going to be difficult for them to have maturity in each one of those areas. So this is an area where I feel like that consistency needs to be there. And it doesn't necessarily be like every once a quarter on February the 17th, we talk about paradigms and principles. If that's you, you do you, you put it on the calendar and you bring it back up and talk about it in a different way. But for me, what it means is I have some high level topics that I think about, and it's almost like I'm always kind of looking and thinking, is this a great time to talk about the value of being able to see from other people's perspectives? Is this a good time to talk about the birds and the bees? Is this a good time to talk about anger and how we manage anger and frustration in our lives? You know, and then try my best to take those moments and whenever I see them and seize them, whether it's one-on-one or whether it's like last night was with all three of my kids. And so we dove in, and man, they did a phenomenal, well, okay, I haven't finished the book, so I can't vouch for it completely, but they really did a phenomenal job. I've read about 3/4 of the way through before I'm actually diving in with my kids. But this first one, Paradigms and Principles, is awesome. And it starts out with some things that kind of make you laugh. They talk about 10 all-time stupid quotes, and I'm not going to read them all, but some of them are like, there is no reason for any individual to have a computer in their home. That was Kenneth Olson, president and the founder of Digital Equipment Corporation in 1977. This man at that time really thought that no, there was no reason for any individual to have an actual computer in their home. So back then, that seemed like wisdom, but now it seems like idiocy, right? And then if we go to the number one thing, oh, wait, hold on. What's the other one? Oh, the number two was, nothing of importance has happened today. That's the quote. And it was written by King George III of England on July 4th, 1776, the day of the American independence, which is just so hilarious. And then the number one stupidest quote was, 2 years from now, spam will be solved. That was Bill Gates in the World Economic Forum in 2004. Whew, was he wrong? And so it talks about how something at the time can seem like it's really smart. But the fact is that whenever you get context and you see later on and you look back, you can have a paradigm shift on how things look. And it also talks about how we can have perceptions of our life around who we are, how others are, and all these different subcategories. And those perceptions and paradigms are like glasses that you put on. And it was so cool because my kids really got it whenever I talked about putting on glasses and taking off glasses. And there was a story from Stephen Covey's book that I've often paraphrased and said to my kids, but it was repeated in here in a shorter form. So I read it last night, and it was so cool because my kids lit up again. It's like, oh, that's that story. That's so awesome. But it's essentially about a woman who's traveling in the airport, and she's got herself some cookies, and she sits down with her coffee and her cookies and goes to town eating her cookies. And then a well-dressed gentleman sits down next to her in the booth, and you know, like, I could picture it being like a bar of some sort. And he starts eating her cookies. And she is like, what is going on? And she chooses not to say anything about it, and just continues on. And ultimately, at the end, there's one cookie left, and he grabs the cookie, breaks half of it, and eats half of it, and gives her the other half, and then walks off. And she never says a word. And she's like, that is the rudest man. Like, he just helped himself to my cookies. Why she didn't say something, I don't really understand. But either way, much to her dismay, as she's walking away, she finds actually that her cookies are in her purse. She never pulled them out. And the cookies that she had been eating were actually that man's cookies. And she had a huge paradigm shift and realization that, wow, that was one of the kindest people that I've ever met, which before she thought he was the rudest that she had ever met. And so it's such an incredible story to like give the context of how powerful paradigm shifts can be whenever we actually look and get into the shoes of others and understand that sometimes there's things that we don't fully understand. So It's so cool. And I just want to encourage you guys, because it talks about the paradigm of ourselves. Like, how do we see ourselves, and how could paradigms we have about who we are be limiting us, or how it can actually help us? And they pull out a really cool story. And it was apparently, I don't know, King Louis the 16th, I'm probably saying that wrong, of France. And he was taken from the throne, and he was imprisoned, and they took his son, the prince, and they basically wanted to just completely destroy him morally. So they took him far away from the community that he had known, and they introduced him to women and lewd actions and all sorts of moral behavior and stealing and temptations one after the other, over partaking, like gluttony, anything he could think of. And basically the young prince kept saying no to these things. And whenever they questioned him and asked, why have you not submitted and taken part in these things? And he said, I cannot do what you ask, for I was born to be a king. And the whole thought process is there, that there's a paradigm through which that prince was seeing his life. And so everything else was not an option because of the paradigm through which he was seeing his life. And how powerful that is as an understanding for our kids, what paradigms are you living your life through? And we talked about that. I was like, what is something that you feel like is a guiding light in your life that dictates who you are and how you show up and what you say yes to and what you say no to? And we had such incredible conversations around that. And then the paradigms of others, like how are you viewing others? And that's where that story kicks in from the lady with the cookies. And then the paradigms of life, like, it actually broke it up into subcategories. So your kids can have paradigms of life. Like, are they friend centered? And actually, I just ordered this book. It's called Hold On to Your Kids. But the whole thought process is how teenagers tend to become friend centric, and how this is extremely damaging for your teenager and for you as well, because all of a sudden the main feeding force into your kids' lives are these teenage friendships, which are immature friendships, and they do provide value. They are amazing. It's not like cut your kid off from their friends, but it is very much so about holding in high regard the relationship you have with your kids as you're moving into teen years. And not, for me, I hate it when people go, oh, well, they're a teenager, typical teenage stuff. And I'm like, I don't think that has to be typical in any way, shape, or form. And I have, thank God, thus far experienced abnormal teenage behavior with my children. They are absolutely phenomenal, incredible. And have they made mistakes? Abso-freaking-lutely. They're not perfect. I'm not perfect. But that typical teenage behavior, and I'm over here using air quotes right now, we have not seen a lot of that in our life. Have we seen some mood swings and things like that? Yes. But this, now they're just going to go off and be with their friends. And now they're just going to, this is just what they're going to do. I want to challenge you on that, not to take preconceived ideals around how you lived your teenage years or what society tells you, what you see in movies, because it can be different, but it can't be different if that's what you expect. You're going to get what you expect. And that again goes into a paradigm itself around parenting. What is your paradigm around what it's going to look like whenever your kids go into tween and teen years? So I want to encourage you to think through that in a different way and not be ready to settle for the status quo, and ask yourself, what can I do differently if I don't want what everybody else has, right? And if you can believe that your kids can rise above and not do that, then that sets a higher bar for them, right? So anyway, the subcategories of paradigms of life that it teaches the kids about is friend-centered, where everything they do, it has to be about what their friends think of them and being with their friends and all of that, especially if it's like a specific friend. And the fact is, you cannot build your life around just your friends. And then another subcategory is stuff-centered, whenever all they care about or their main focus is on the things, the stuff, the clothes, the possessions, the titles, accomplishments. Maybe it's being the head cheerleader, the star of the play, the valedictorian, the student body officer, or the MVP. And so it's not that there's anything wrong with those things, but finding their identity and who they are and being wrapped up completely in those things is not going to serve them. Another subcategory was boyfriends and girlfriends, and being centered around them, and that essentially, like, say the girlfriend, he breaks down in this cute little chart, and he says, okay, so say Tasha's reactions is that she makes a thoughtless comment to Brady. Well, Brady's reaction might be, my whole day is ruined because Tasha said that thoughtless comment. And it doesn't have to be that way, because in that way, we're kind of becoming codependent, right? And so talking through that with my kids is something that I feel like is super high priority to me, because this is something I feel like the movies paint out that most relationships you are. It's like, oh my gosh, they are my world. They're my everything. And that is true, but there's a healthy, healthy, healthy way to go about that whenever you are actually in love with someone and you marry them. Okay. And then school centered, are they academia centered to where if they don't make the right grades, then their whole world falls apart. Furthermore, parent centered. And this was funny. I made a joke. I was like, I'm not going to read this part because you guys, it's nothing wrong with being parent centered. And they laughed, but, the thought process is, are you putting expectations on your child in an unhealthy way? There are expectations that we must have on our child. Otherwise, and I feel like that's where a pendulum has swung in our society, where, you know, one generation feels huge pressure to perform and to be this way and to be that way. And then it's like, okay, well, when I grow up and I have kids, I'm not going to put that kind of pressure on my kid because you resented that pressure. But again, I've stated this before, I often find the middle, if the pendulum can swing in the middle, that's actually where the good stuff is. And so our kids need responsibility and we need to have expectations for our children. But whenever it goes into the unhealthy zone, that's where we're pushing them and putting so much value in how they perform and the grades and, you know, their acknowledgement, accomplishments in school. And it can really, really have huge, huge impact on your kid and their heart and how they view themselves in the world and how they need to please you. And it comes out in very unhealthy ways in other areas. So making sure that, you know, your kids are evaluating as well as you. Is your child parent-centered in an unhealthy way? And then it also lists some other possible concerns, like, are you hobby-centered? Are you hero-centered, where you look up to one person and they're just it? And then what happens if that person screws up or does something really stupid? You know, what happens then? Or are you enemy centered, where you're just angry and you're so wrapped up in hating a group, a person, or an idea? And honestly, on the internet, there's groups for that. There's like whole movements based off of just hating something and being angry about something. Are you being work centered? Are you workaholic? Are you not making time for the fun things in life? Are you being self-centered? Are you always thinking about the lens of life through what you have or don't have, rather than thinking about other people? So anyway, it goes on in the chapter to talk about principle-centered, like instead of being people-centered, parent-centered, boyfriend-girlfriend-centered, instead, it says be principle centered. And it was so neat because we're a family of faith, and my Jude goes, oh, well, the paragraph starts out, in case you were starting to wonder, there's a center that actually works. What is it? Drum roll, please. And Jude goes, it's called being God centered. And I love that. That was a really beautiful moment for me personally, just to hear his heart on that. But these principles that I'm going to tell you about here that he talks about in the book, you know, ultimately for us, they do come from faith. They come from learning this from God's word. And but anyway, he talks about the different principles, and he says honesty, service, love, hard work, respect, gratitude, moderation, fairness, integrity, loyalty, and responsibility are all principles. And he talks about how just like a compass always points to true north, your heart will recognize true principles. And I think that that's really true. And ultimately, he points out that you might see these other people in life who don't live by principles, and it might seem like they're getting along just fine, but he kind of encourages them that, like, look, it always catches up with them. And he tells a story to go along with that. And so I really, really, really appreciated that. And it was so cool because at the end, I put the microphone in each one of their faces and was like, no, like, what is applicable here for you in the now? Like, what are your thoughts? What did you think about that? And each one of them had some really good information that they had pulled for themselves personally, and also too for some friends too, that they thought of whenever they were listening to everything. And so anyway, I just want to encourage you guys, whether it's 7 Habits of Highly Effective Teens, or it is Think and Grow Rich, or whether it's the Bible, or it's a book on friendship for them to find good friends, whether it's a sex ed book where you're going to talk through things because you're not exactly sure what to say, like whatever the thing is, I want to encourage you guys to use books as a tool to connect with your kids. And it might seem like they're going to be so bummed out about it, but a lot of times I hear parents paying their kids to read books, which I think is phenomenal. I think that's awesome. And I want to add to that and say another awesome, amazing option is to actually sit down and just read the books with them. If you think back to the history of, humans and families, sitting around in a living room reading a book together was really a sacred time, or telling stories, right? And so creating those spaces where you're reading books together is a very, very, very powerful way and tool in your belt that you can use to parent your kids. And so I hope that was encouraging to you today. I really enjoyed our talk last night. And I have found for me personally as a parent, this is one of my absolute favorite things to do with my kids is to teach them and to pour into them. And that doesn't always happen, especially whenever you have busy schedules. It doesn't always happen organically. Sometimes you have to make it happen. And sometimes you have to incentivize your kids. And sometimes you just got to catch the right moment, right? But pouring into our kids, it's our job. And so if you don't make the time, oftentimes life doesn't always present it, especially with technology in our lives the way it is now. So I hope you grab the book and I hope that you put this tool in your tool belt. And as always, guys, thank you so much for listening. I truly hope you enjoyed our episode today on the Powerful Parenting Journey podcast. Make sure to hit follow and subscribe so that you don't miss out on any upcoming episodes. You're not going to want to miss a thing, I promise. If you were impacted by this episode, do me a favor and leave a review with a comment. I read every one of them and I also pass them along to our guests. If this episode made you think of someone, go ahead, take a screenshot and share this episode with them or post it on your social media to share with friends. You can catch the show notes for this episode and any mentioned links at powerfulparenting.com/podcast. If you want to see more behind the scenes with me and my guests, be sure to find me on Instagram or Facebook. It's where we can have deeper conversations on these podcasts. Take care. And remember, it's not about being a perfect parent. It's about taking each day and working on showing up powerfully for our kids. They deserve it, and you are the parent for the job. See you on the next episode.